Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Why did I say that Dak Prescott's my choice for MVP? In the NFL, it's different than other sports, right? If you have the best year in Major League Baseball, everybody just looks back at the end of the year and go, who had the best year on the best team? There's my vote right there. That's kind of how it is, right? In the NBA, okay, what superstar is having a big, big year? But we kind of wade through the season before we make a vote. In the NFL, you grab that MVP storyline early. If you remember last year, it was week two and it was Russell Wilson has to be the NFL MVP. Oh my God, it's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. Stop with Russell Wilson being the MVP and the guy still hasn't gotten MVP.
You're only through three quarters and you've already canonized Dak Prescott.
Hey,
You've got a t-shirt printed and everything.
Hey, don't hate the player. Hate the game, man. This is how the game goes. The game is the game, right?
If I want to go know what you're trying to do there.
I'm giving you wire quotes. The game is the game. Rest in peace, Michael.
I just thought you sounded kind of silly, but that's just me.
But, man, got to have a code. But you grab the momentum early in the NFL. And clearly after tonight, look, and I'll be the first person to tell you, I told you Dak Prescott's my choice for MVP because I know how things are, how the cycle of news is going to be if he plays well. And he's got the storyline coming in. Here's the Dallas Cowboys, right? Biggest franchise in the National Football League. Here's the quarterback who just got paid. Here he is coming back from injury. There is an incredible desire to see how he plays and how well he plays. So if he does play well, guess what? It's going to be all Dak all the time, right? If Dak Prescott was the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, no one would care. Right? I mean, really, no one would care. People barely care about Sam Darnold, who's going to throw four picks on Sunday. So, you know, people don't care about it. But Dak Prescott, and suddenly he's going to gather up so much attention, so much story by writers, by talking heads on TV, by people like you and I on the radio. I can see how it's going to go. And I can see that after tonight, boy, hey, Brady was great, but wow, look at Dak, right? The Buccaneers could win this game. Brady could throw two more touchdowns. It would be, hey, Brady was great, but wow, look at Dak.
Well, especially because he's got the miracle cure of whatever ailed his shoulder.
Exactly, exactly. So, but we've seen Brady play well. I mean, no one wants to give Brady another MVP, but do they want to give Dak the MVP? There is a big time contingent out there in the media, in fans who want to see Dak Prescott do well and be rewarded for it and win the MVP because he plays quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys and he's one of the guys that stirs the drink in the National Football League. And the more he plays well, and I knew he'd come out and be someone that the Dallas Cowboys relied on. And all you have to do is stay in contention if you're the Cowboys, right? If you stink and you're the Cowboys, well, then Dak's got to do something unbeknownst to mankind as a quarterback to win the MVP, right? If the Cowboys are 500 and they stink, then he's got to break the all-time touchdown record, right? He's got to throw for 6,000, 7,000. You know, you got to throw for that type of deal. You got to throw for 6,000 yards. And clearly, look, you're not going to do any of that. But as long as the Cowboys are okay, and they'll be okay because they play in a bad division, he will stay top of mind. He will be at the top of every conversation that will go. I see this. I know this because I've worked in the media, in television and radio and on the internet for the past 20 years. I know how things go. And this is how it goes for Dak Prescott. 330 and three touchdowns with an entire quarter to go. And let's just say he throws another touchdown and the Cowboys win. Forget it. Give him the MVP now because I know that's what's going to happen. And you see tomorrow on TV and everywhere you look, oh, look at all the Dak for MVP conversations that happen. I will just sit back and say, you're welcome.
Look, Skip's already pacing around like a cat. Right, he's got monologues, he's got stuff ready, he's deciding what shoes he's wearing, which of his Dak jerseys over at FS1 he's going to have at the ready in the morning. There's no question about it. And it's been a fantastic game plan, right? Quick passes, get it out, let these receivers make some plays along the edges. Gallup was big for them early in this game, and then it became CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper just putting up big catch after big catch, and now it's can you get some pressure up front, you know, because there's no run game. You haven't bothered to try to establish it. I don't know if the game plan was, look, we know this is going to be a high-scoring affair. Our offensive line's banged up, so we need to adjust as best we can, and maybe Zeke is a bigger factor against another team. Because the other thing, the Buccaneers last year, right, they averaged, gave up, what, 80 yards a game, 10 total touchdowns on the ground for the year. So not exactly a defense that you were going to be able to have great success on. And then you have a couple of injuries in the secondary that make your eyes get a little bit wider as a play caller. So certainly you're going to take advantage of that when you've got CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper at the ready. And that's what they've done. So a fantastic game thus far by Dak. And yeah, because of the Cowboy brand, because of the number of jersey sales and the interest globally, he'll go right to the top. Kind of like those little Heisman lists after 1 week. Let's go. Who's on our medal stand? Because it doesn't need to go to week two this year. No, no, no. Dak's having a big game. Dak with the zipper ankle, we didn't know what was going to happen. Zach Martin's not there. And then this shoulder injury that we had no real details on, that all of a sudden he's able to show up and throw the ball 60-some-odd times. Yeah, it's easy to start getting on that bandwagon. Until Josh Allen starts slinging.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. As good as Josh Allen is, he is not the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And that's the
Bills Mafia, that's baby. Because they will come and wreck you,
you
if you
don't
body
slam anybody you want to onto a folding table. It's not going to change.
They'll be taking all those writers if they show up to town going, let's go. It's a ladder match. It's a table match. Let's get it on.
But I'm telling you, I see how I know how things go. And this is why Dak Prescott MVP. That's why I picked him, because that's how it's going to go.
You're really just downplaying any mention at the secondary dropping like flies.
Doesn't matter.
Hey,
doesn't
he's
matter.
Carving them up. It's
people
like,
aren't
there's
gonna
like
care.
Secondary
no
dudes.
No one's going to care.
No, and that's
no
fine. But we're having the show right now where we're
yes,
watching
I
it
know.
In front of them, which means those details matter in the moment.
You're pounding the like you're
I
Matt
am.
Millen. What like I want to win. I want to win now. Do you want to crown
right.
him? Then crown. Okay.
Crown him.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
As entertaining an opening game as we have seen in some time, Cowboys and the Buccaneers, it looked like the Cowboys could get out of there with a victory, but when you give the ball to Tom Brady with 90 seconds left to go, you know how it's going to end. The game-winning field goal for the Bucs coming with 2 seconds left on the clock, and they win it 31-29, a game the Cowboys could have flipped the other way had they made a field goal from 31 yards and an extra point, but Greg Zuerlein really struggled tonight. Who did not struggle? Dak Prescott, 403 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. Tom Brady, 379 and 4 touchdowns. You had big nights receiving from Amari Cooper and Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski. It was that kind of night. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire, longtime friend of the show. He's on Twitter at Jay Glazer. It is Jay Glazer. Jay, if every game is like this year, I think we'll be okay.
I think we'll be okay. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know what? You're sitting there, it's almost like, wait, I know it's the greatest reality show in America, but is it the greatest scripted reality show? Because they couldn't script something like this. They could, but they couldn't. Like, it's just like, and it was great, too, man, just seeing Brady with, you know, a minute, what was it, minute 45, whatever he had, to come and carve them up, and just the look on his face, like, oh, man, I got this. Like, you just know you can't give him time. And look, guys, I've talked to you guys on here several times about the greatness of Tom Brady. And I've always said, like, man, he just outworks everybody in every way possible. And, you know, I've told players that we've trained, listen, he's the best. Find out what Tom Brady does and do more than him. And I will have consistently have guys over the years saying, oh, no, I can't do that. He does too much. There's no too much, man. If you want to be great, that's what you got to do.
Big price to be paid, absolutely.
That's the only part, Jay, that was scripted on this was, Brady's got the ball back with 90 seconds. It's going to be a game-winning field goal. That was the only part that was scripted of this game. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's just incredible. You know, once you got – you know, he got the ball back with Tom, you're like, oh, no shots. Just that pass to Godwin, the way he placed it. I'll tell you who's going to have a big year is – and I don't know if I'm, you know, certainly not reinventing the wheel here, but Antonio Brown, because here's an Antonio Brown who has now had a whole year with them, feels loved. I think that some of the issues that he had in the past are probably over on the side, because now he has a home and a family, that he's not the guy and doesn't have to be the guy. He's not. If he tries to be a brand, he won't be on the team. It's the best thing that could ever happen to him. And so here's where I saw a difference in Antonio Brown. I'm standing on the sidelines of Buccaneers, Titans, when they were practicing, standing with Rondae Barber. And, you know, Rondae had more game consecutive games played than anybody in the NFL when he retired. And I don't know if you guys know that or not, but, man, Rondae did not miss a game in 15 or 16 straight years. And he's a little, you know, 179-pound cornerback. And Antonio Brown came running over and sought him out and said, hey, Rondae. And I'm standing there with Rondae. Rondae. So it wasn't that, and I, you know, he's not friends with AB, doesn't talk to AB, doesn't see AB ever. And AB comes running over, seeks him out and says, hey, man, I mean to talk to you. What did you do for, at the end of your career, to get more longevity? And kind of took Rondae back. Okay, well, this is what the AB I expected. And he said, look, you know, I did a lot for my body. What did you do for your body? So he's like asking, what did you do for your body? Well, I did this and this and this and this and this and this. As I got older, I tried to do this. Okay, so what else did you do? He said, AB, I watched so much film, so much, that I knew before the ball was snapped, whether it was run, pass, snap count, where it was going. So I had great anticipation. But I just had to put more work in as my body got older. And and AB was just soaking it up. And he walks away, and Rondae turns to me and goes, did not expect that. And I don't think anybody would have expected that if you saw the AB from the Hard Knocks from 2 years ago, right? So I think he's now in a place where, man, if he just is a cog, is just an anonymous dude, and he's so incredibly talented, where he can get back to being, you know, just that, I think he's going to be – he could be an issue. Because if he can be the old Antonio Brown for this team, he could be a problem.
Talking about all the buy-in, all the starters returning, the great expectations. Dak Prescott, I had no idea what to expect of this, Jay. Coming in tonight, doing, you know, radio as we do every night, and hits across the country. It's like, what it's do you incredible. Expect? I'm like, I don't know.
No, it's incredible. That guys, look what happened last year. His leg turned around.
Right.
There are other, like Alex Smith was out for what, 4 years? Right? Zach Miller, career over. Like, this was a spiral fracture. Like, there are guys, if infection goes in there, you're done. And he comes back the next year. I don't think people fully understand the magnitude of what he came back from. I really don't. It's something that had an infection got into his leg. We're talking about a guy who not only could he not play, but is he going to have his leg? And the moment, so he was there. They got made sure so infection didn't come in. They had to have the leg open for a little bit. And then once they sutured it up after they did the surgery, he immediately started going back to the facility without a contract. Started going back to the facility, working, rehabbing there. In a losing season, working with the guy, teaching it. Like, it's like that I've always had a huge respect for Dak. People have ragged on him, and you rag on him because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys. That position gets more attention than every position in sports combined. But Dak Prescott is a gangster.
Jay Glazer with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And, you know, and overall, Jay, you know, look, we talked about Dak and how this Dallas Cowboys offense is going to evolve. And, you know, maybe they don't throw the football 60 times a game, but they're going to throw it a ton. I think the Cowboys are a little bit better than everybody thought they'd be. I mean, yeah, they came up short in this game, but another couple of kicks by Greg Zuerlein that go one way or the other, maybe it's a different outcome.
And listen, if Zach Martin was in there, I don't know if Vita Vea would be able to, you know, he was kind of bullying Connor Williams, and that was a lot of issues. Probably not going to happen to Zach Martin in there. But, yeah, you know, I think the thing with Dallas, too, is, man, they need Zeke to somehow, I don't know if he's ever going to be the old Zeke, but they need it. Right, I think in their minds, he still is going to be the old Zeke because they just paid. But I don't know if that guy's there anymore. If this team is really going to be elite, they need a guy like Zeke to play like a top three running back. That's it. There's no ands or ifs or buts about it. Can't just be middle of the road or top 10. He's got to be top flight. And if he's top flight, and man, if you know he and Dak are so close, that's the best thing you could do for your friend Dak. you've really got to get yourself focused and be a top three running back in this league.
Jay, I got to ask the obvious question then to wrap it up. Celebratory drink for Bruce Arians. What's he pouring?
That's the wrong question. Totally wrong question.
Okay.
What's he not pouring is the question we want to know.
Fair point. Fair point. Yes.
Hey, I want to make mention before we go here, ma'am. I don't ever talk about 9/11, and I know it's a big week. I don't talk about it because those of us who were down there, the things that we saw, I didn't sign up for that. Mm-hmm. None of us signed up for it down there. And, man, you know, for me, 9/11 obviously means different because I lost one of my best friends and I was down there looking for him. And I just try and blot that out. But our vets, and 9/11 is what spurned on MVP. It got me so into our military, admire them so much that I'm like, my God, I didn't sign up for this. Yet these guys are leaving their own families to go sign up to see this stuff. The admiration is incredible. But before tonight's game, gang, I was down there the whole week looking for my friend. And I didn't know it was going to happen tonight, but the start of the game, did you guys see the family that they honored? Mm-hmm. At the start of the game, mm-hmm. It was a Kane family. It was my friend's family. I had no idea.
No kidding.
Oh, wow. Really?
I had no idea. It was an out-of-body experience. I couldn't believe it. I was just... of all the families, and, you know, his daughters will reach out periodically to find out more about, you know, what kind of, how he was and what kind of dad was and one of the daughters last year. It just goes to show that, you know, the effects. One of the daughters reached out that she was getting married and she was just, you know, it's still a struggle for them because they were so afraid to lose a male figure in their life. And just the effects that it left to these people and these families and the fact that these first responders and these military vets and these heroes, and yes, heroes. You use the term, but holy crap, are they heroes? Were they stepped up for it? Guys, I think I'm one of the toughest dudes in the world. But the stuff that I saw, I can't handle, and I don't talk about it all. And they stepped up into it. So God bless every one of you that took some of that off of us. And that's, you know, I will say this, that for my friend Jake, man, I love you, dude, who's up there, and without you, MVP wouldn't have started. So I love you, dude.
Jay is on Twitter at Jay Glazer. You can get more information on MVP, merging vets and players, and unbreakable performance.
I couldn't
right
believe
there.
It.
Oh, wow, Jay. That's a great story, man.
Moment.
That's
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
Because I try and separate myself from everything that happens.
Sure.
Down there, because it just takes too much time. It's just not time. It just takes too much out of you. And the family understands. I talked to them about it, and we all love each other. I just stepped away from it because it's like, I asked when it happened, I asked his family and everybody in our crew to stay back in Jersey because they were all married with kids and I wasn't. So I'm like, hey, let me go through all this and let me be the messed up one. Y'all don't need to see this stuff. And that's how we did it. So, man, it was just so great to see them. It was so great to see the whole family up there getting honored. I'm still struggling with the fact that it was them. I don't know how to react, man.
No, the emotion comes through, Jay. Good thoughts with you and all those, and you stated it so beautifully.
But like I said, those who perished, those who suffered, it was not all for naught. It really started a beautiful movement that I started with MVP, and it was because of what happened that day that got me so incredibly into the military and admiring them, saying, you know what, I now want to save them. And I think if I could save them, they could help save the world. So it was, it's something horrible led to something I think is going to end up being really beautiful.
Jay, keep fighting the good fight, man. Always great stuff. Always love talking about stuff like
love
this,
you,
man.
Love you, man. Look forward to seeing appreciate you on Sunday with all the boys.
Can't wait.
All right.
Can't wait, man.
Family
Can't wait.
Back together. Let's go.
All right. There goes Jay Glazer.
The best.
Phenomenal stuff there from Jay. Absolutely. And yeah, I know. Look, we'll talk about it tomorrow. You know, we'll be on the eve of 9/11, the 20th anniversary of it. But there's Jay, and what an incredible story that he didn't even know that's the family of his friend that he was looking for. Outstanding stuff. Again, for more information on Merging Vets and Players, Unbreakable Performance, as Jay always says, it's okay to not be okay. If you need help, if you're someone that fought for the country, find it right there. Again, it's on his Twitter page. At Jay Glazer. Also go to Vets and Players on Twitter as well for more information.
Yeah, National Suicide Prevention Week too. So, you know, check in on your people.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
We are looking at a story in the NFL that really defies logic.
Yeah.
How a team continues to lose running backs like the Ravens have. It's gotten past the point of bad luck to just what did they do to the football gods? All right. Within 12 days now, they have lost three starting running backs in a span of these days due to injuries. They lost J.K. Dobbins for the season. That was a huge, huge blow, right? I mean, look, you like J.K. Dobbins for fantasy. He was someone who was going to be part of that big three-headed rushing attack. Look, this is a team that runs the football really well. And it's not that their running backs are great. Their running backs are good when you add the 1,000 yards that Lamar Jackson runs for. Hey, we run the ball great. So they lose him, which is a huge blow. But okay, we have a couple other guys now that can do it. Then they lose Justice Hill, who was projected to be one of the backups with an Achilles injury a few days ago. And then today, you get a double whammy. I know the running back is getting getting more attention here, but they lose Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters.
Yep.
At practice today, both suffering torn ACLs. Practice was stopped early. This was not a practice that was in pads. This was not something where things got out of control. They both were practicing, no pads, torn ACL. Peters goes down with an injury first, and then a few plays later was when Edwards got hurt, and that's when John Harbaugh called an end to practice. This run of three running backs that they are now losing, and now you've lost a really good defensive back in Marcus Peters. Look, we'll get to the situation with the Ravens in a second, because we're going to get to some teams that could really take a dive this year. But this is just some kind of run, and I don't know how you overcome this if you're the Ravens. Like, yes, Lamar Jackson is terrific, and he's, you know, proven to be one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. But when you lose all your running backs and you lose a great defensive back, you can't just keep saying, hey, we're gonna go next man up, right? You've already signed Le'Veon Bell, and he's coming in. And now reports are they're going to sign Latavius Murray, and it's going to be all the guys that are kind of done, that are past their prime, but they need some guys to come in to run the football. So this is where the Ravens are at right now. You're calling guys that aren't in the league to come in, and 4 days before an opening game, say, hey, come in, help us. I don't know how the Ravens get past this. It's going to be really, really difficult.
Well, they signed Devontae Freeman, too. So, like, it's just, hey, if you've ever been a lead back somewhere, we're going to give you a look-see and hope that the football gods are done with us. It's really amazing. Just when that tweet came out, it just stopped me. Right? I'm in the middle of doing a bunch of rankings, doing some radio hits, and it's like, wait, really? I'd literally just gotten off the phone in Baltimore probably 20 minutes before that news came down. I was like, well, that kind of changes everything. Now, doesn't it? Especially with the hype that I've had for the Ravens. You mentioned the J.K. Dobbins love last week, or earlier this week, I should say. Jason Lockenfora corroborated some things that I'd been hearing about his potential use, split out a little wide as a receiver and all of these things. And, well, it all goes for naught. And so now you're scraping the bottom of the barrel with all these veteran running backs, hoping to catch lightning in the bottle with one of them. Your offensive line should be strong. Your receivers, remember you already got hit with a bunch of receiver injuries. So part of me is wondering, does the Chicago Park District run the facilities for the Ravens?
Wow, that's a hot take.
And for folks that know what that means, you're laughing hysterically. And if you want to look it up, look it up. It's one of the big beefs that the Bears have and why they're looking at Arlington Park and moving to Arlington Heights is the fact that they have no control over the facility, which means they can run out whatever they want. Soccer game on Saturday night? Sure. Bears, noon kickoff. Let's go. You can have a high school game on Friday. You can have two. Okay. And then, so like with the Ravens, like, is it the training staff? Is it just a run of just really bad luck? Is there something on the field? Like, there's so much you need to go and try to investigate. We talk about it all the time, and Frostberg's going to hate me for it, but we've talked about the Chargers and some of the injury issues that they've had over the last couple of years. Like, you just start wondering what the hell's going on that you have that type of, dare I say, epidemic. Strike your locker room. It's just amazing.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. I was already leaving in Baltimore this year anyway because they didn't really get better from a year ago. This is on the football field, right? They didn't really get better. They signed Sammy Watkins.
Well, they did draft Rashad Bateman, who ended up having to have surgery, so he goes down.
Yes.
They re-signed and just like they had pieces now, at least in the past game. Were they world beaters? No, but it was an upgrade. And all those guys are hurt now, too. Sammy Watkins is somehow the last man standing.
Yeah, and look, Sammy Watkins is, I have him on my fantasy team, one of my fantasy teams, so I hope he's good. But still, this is not a team that got better in the offseason, right? They didn't go out and say, what's our number one thing? We need more wide receivers, so let's go get a couple of guys. No, they went out and got Sammy Watkins. Oh, wow. Okay, Sammy Watkins, who... nobody wanted anymore because we've seen, okay, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
They didn't get better. Their defense is pretty good. Now they lose Marcus Peters today. But this was when the NFL is starting to catch up a little bit to Lamar Jackson, and they need to get better and branch out offensively to be able to make up for that. And now you've lost two really good running backs, you know, one of your backup running backs, and one of your starting cornerbacks who's also one of the leaders of the team. I don't know how you get past that and be a Super Bowl contender. I don't see it. You talk about teams that can take a dive this year that are not going to be at the top. Just we think they're there because they've always been there. I don't see how the Ravens contend. I really don't. It's really difficult for me to see how the Ravens contend. There's a couple other teams there, too, that I can think can take a dive this year, but clearly the Ravens are up there. It's, okay, if I already had questions before, now in 12 days you lose these three really, really good players, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you think that Freeman and Latavius Murray and Le'Veon Bell and whoever else you're going to bring in at running back is going to – I don't know. I don't. Jamal Lewis, can he still come in and play? I mean, I don't know.
Nice.
I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to – I can't see them being a Super Bowl contender. I think they're going to wind up – they won't start as fast, and it's going to be one of those seasons that kind of snowballs on them, and they realize that, okay, we have to figure something else out for next year. I can't see them contending.
I'm not going to lie. I was still feeling pretty good until today. I was willing, if this offensive line is healthy, right, and Stanley's ready to go – and Tyson Johnson, a guy we've talked about, good to see folks finally listening to what I've been barking for a week plus over to get there. But with the additions at wideout, thinking, all right, they'll miss the four games and come back and at least give them an upgrade over last year. And that defense is always stout. Running game will work. Plug guys in. As long as the linemen are healthy, you'll find guys that'll be able to make it work, and Lamar will make enough plays. After those two losses today, right, because they were going to ride the bus, that was the joke before the practice that took him out with Gus Edwards and obviously Peters, a loss that you just throw your hands up going, what did we do? Like that, they have to look around. It's like, because people immediately started going, oh, was winning all those preseason games. Look at what it did for you. I'm like, no. Come on now. You can't do the, it's 1-1. Hey, they won and played hard in those preseason games, so that's why they're all hurt? That's ludicrous. It's a nice hot take. Again.
It is.
It's bad logic, but, you know, hey, have at it. It wouldn't be anybody's first time.
Look, when I see something, like, look, and I hate to say this because I'm agreeing with a guy who, you know, obviously is not a good GM and he's got issues and the Mets haven't sent him away now, is when Zach Scott, who was acting GM of the Mets, like, why do you have all these injuries? Well, we got guys that don't take care of themselves. It's these soft tissue injuries that have to be adjudicated more. If it was injuries like that, I would say, okay, maybe you have to take a look at your medical staff because there's a reason why, hey, these guys are hurt and they're not coming back. They're either the system to get them in shape is not there and the way they rehab and come back is not quite there. You know, if you see these soft tissue injuries happening that, okay, well, here's this and here's something in a quad and here's something in a hamstring or whatever it is, and then you see them continuing to suffer from, you see like a rash of it, okay, are the guys really in shape, right? That's when you can look at the conditioning program and you can look at what the doctors have prescribed in them coming back if they're not coming back fast enough. But injuries like this, torn ACLs, I mean, they're just things that happen, right? I mean, it's unfortunate, but they're injuries that happen in sports. It's not, oh, if you didn't do this, you wouldn't have torn ACLs. I mean, eventually we're going to get to an NFL where it's going to be, you know, we're just not even going to play. We're just going to wait. We're just going to play the games. What about practice? No practice. We're just going to watch film, and then we're going to go out for the games on Sunday, and that's it. We're not going to go out and practice, not going to do anything because guys are going to get hurt. Yes, it's tackle football. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes that's the reality people have to understand. You are playing a sport where you can get injured. It's the sport you are most likely to get injured in because of the amount of physical contact, because of the planting you have to do, the turning, the bodies that fall on one another.
Yeah, the torque.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to use the word torque. So
it is. Pretty good. And the last time you used that was for Peter Torque, I think was.
Well, we do celebrate the entire catalog of the Monkees.
And TJ, then I saw her face and I was a believer, TJ. So that's really what it is. You know, I mean, it's not something where you look at the coaching staff. These are torn ACLs. I mean, they're unfortunate. They happen. It's tackle football.
Yeah, it's just a preponderance of them in a very short amount of time. And when we're talking non-contact injuries, you're just like, really? How does it, like, just this one I didn't believe. I immediately started really verifying that the blue check mark was there. It's like someone was playing a cruel joke. It's like, you're not going to believe this. Like, no, come on, this can't happen. And it wasn't because you're bullish on a team or a player. Like you and I, you know, probability, statistics, and breaking down, you know, news events, it just seemed like a convergence of things that was improbable. Like if we were to put the math to it, you know, that's, you know, one to include whatever power. Like, it's just a, you know, very low percentage of all of these things happening. But here we are.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'll tell you what. Look, it was a great night, and for a second, let's just understand how phenomenal a game this was.
Yeah.
This was everything you could have wanted, right? I told you, the Cowboys could win this game. Oh, you're crazy. You're not going to win this game. You're not going to do it. How are they going to do it? I said, just come out and throw the football. Right, you can see it's on Twitter. I said it. I said it on the show last night. Tweeted it out. I was there. Don't come out and hand the football to Ezekiel Elliott. Don't try to, you know, let Dak Prescott ease his way back in like he's trying to get into a really cold pool at your neighbor's house. Going, oh boy, the water's cold. Going to go in up to my ankles.
Wait, is that what you do at your neighbor's pool? You just kind of show up and.
Oh no, I like to jump in. Like, let's get it all out of the way early. I'll just jump out. But let's not try to do it. I'm going to go in up to my knees, then up to my middle of my thighs, then I'm going to get in up to my groin. No. I just jump right in. Do that.
You just dropped a groin.
I just said groin.
You even said groin. That's a difficult word for a lot of people to say.
Yeah, groin's
they get very
good.
Self-conscious about it.
Rhymes with loin. Nice rhymes with LeMoyne, who, you know, won the lacrosse Division II.
Not really well done.
Look. Go out and throw the football. Let's see Dak Prescott. You're paying him that money. This is how you're going to stay with the Buccaneers because it's opening week. Things are crazy. Things happen. The Buccaneers aren't going to be playing as good defensively week one as they will be later on in the season. And who knows? They were supposed to have a good defense, but maybe it's not as great. We don't know until we play the game. And you know what? The Cowboys did it. And they would have done it if Greg Zuerlein had had an average night. And that
but you don't know that.
Making an extra point. And making a field goal. Yeah, the game
could
have
changed
down.
The game, though.
the game would have come down differently at the end. But if you don't give the ball back to Tom Brady, then maybe he doesn't go down and score. And the Cowboys would have been protecting a lead, trying to get first downs, rather than, hey, let's get down the field and we have to push the football and we can't milk the clock down and score and take the lead. When you're protecting a lead, it would have gone it might have gone differently. And I would have, the way the Cowboys moving the football on that Tampa Bay defense, yeah, I'd have taken the Cowboys to close that game out the way it was going. But when you're coming back from behind, you have to score, you give the football back. That's how it's going to go.
Well, you win the turnover battle decisively, time of possession decisively. The Buccaneers had over 100 yards. Let me get this right. 106 yards of penalties, 11 called. Gave up 451 yards. Talked about the injuries in the secondary. 9 minutes time of possession difference, which is actually much closer than it was for a good chunk of the game, right? When we got into the beginning of the fourth quarter, it was decidedly Cowboys. So the Bucs control a bit of that fourth quarter. But you add it all up. Those are all the stats and data points that people want to point out and say that's how you win, right? Turnovers is 75-80% thereabouts. Normally you lose the turnover battle that you're losing the game. Well, not today. Not today. Again, I'm curious, you know, coming back, the additions to that Tampa defense a year ago, guys got valuable experience into the playoffs and Super Bowl. And then today you lose a couple of those guys right off the jump, and we'll see how long they're out. Right? Hamstring for one, and the other still waiting on a full determination. But, you know, that depletes you. Just like we talk about the Ravens going to the scrap heap for running backs, that one we normally can stipulate, hey, you know what? We get if our line's good enough, we're going to be able to still run the football. When it comes to covering downfield in today's NFL, yeah, I don't want cornerbacks 3, 4, 5, and 6 out there and guys signed off the scrap heap. That's a recipe for disaster. So it can get kind of easy.
Now, let me tell you this, because this is where you think this is going to be a hot take, but it's not. I know Cowboys fans, and look, many NFL fans are going to go, Jason, you're crazy. Ezekiel Elliott is not going to matter in this offense very quickly. Very quickly. And for the next couple of years, Cowboys fans are going to go, why are we paying him all this money? All right. First of all, it's diminishing returns from him. All right. This is now, you know, he didn't look great tonight, didn't get the football a ton, but more so than that, yeah, paying him was so 2.5 years ago, all right? Dak Prescott's the guy.
Oh, you're going
it's
sunk
his team
cost.
Now. It's his team. They didn't give Dak $40 million a year to say, here, Zeke, take the football. No, they didn't do that. They gave it to him so he could win and put up offense and performances like he did tonight. Ezekiel Elliott is not going to matter. He's going to have more games of 9 carries for 33 yards than he's going to have 20 carries for 100 yards. It's just not going to happen because he's not going to get that opportunity, because this is how the Cowboys move the football. They don't move it by giving the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. They move it by your $40 million quarterback giving it to your $100 million receiver who had a big night in Amari Cooper, and your big first-round draft pick in CeeDee Lamb, and oh, by the way, Michael Gallup, who would be a number one receiver on half the teams in the NFL. This is how the Cowboys' offense is going to go. Dak Prescott even said after the game, we played complementary football better than we have during my time ever of how the offense and defense work together. Now, I kind of disagree with that because the defense still got lit up for a lot of points.
Yes,
but
did.
Here's Dak saying, hey, the offense, we were great tonight. Where's your statement about, oh, we got to get Zeke more involved? We got to do that. Ezekiel Elliott is not going to matter. And he's going to be the most expensive, and I don't want to say liability, but because he's still someone that can pick up the blitz, and he's still someone you're going to give the football to in short yardage situations. But what you are paying him from what you could get from Tony Pollard and a bunch of guys, Cowboys fans are going to see this ahead, and they're going to go, why are we doing this? And they're going to look and go, we can't get out of his contract for the 2 years because he's $30 million dead cap. Why are we doing that? Why did we pay him all that money? And then you come back to the conversation we've had for the past few years, why you never pay running. Sorry, because I feel bad, but running backs had their day to get paid. And you just happen to play a position that the NFL sees right now as, all right, we don't need to sink a lot of money in guy, especially if we do that and he gets hurt. Look where we're going to go. What are we going to do? You know, a couple of years ago when Ezekiel Elliott had them, He had him. Oh, you got to pay me because I've been so good. Look how young I am. If you don't pay me, watch what happens. And Dallas failed to see how their offense was going to evolve, how the NFL was evolving, because you were still in your zero running back strategy situation 2 years ago. No, but we got to pay him because Jerry Jones drafted him, and he's got to pay the guys that he drafted. We got to give him all that money. And now you gave a running back money that is just going to sink you, because you could get whatever you need out of Tony Pollard or whoever else you want to put out there in the backfield. You can get that because you got that last year. And now that you have your quarterback back and you got three really good receivers, this is how the offense is going to evolve. And you paid a guy that's now going to sit there and collect money every week, and you're going to go, he's not special. He's not. And Dallas Cowboy fans are going to resent Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to be mad at the team. They're going to say, let's give the ball to Zeke more. Then there's going to be times that they give him the ball, but it's, why are we doing that? Why aren't we throwing the football? All that money could have gone other places to bring bigger weapons in or pay more and pay better players to come in and play defense. You paid a position that you don't have to pay in the National Football League, and the Cowboys are paying for it. At least in 2 years, you got an out for it, but boy, that's 2 years of just watching a sunk cost in Ezekiel Elliott. He's not going to matter to this offense, and you're going to see it over the course of this season.
To be fair, they have spent an awful lot of money badly on defensive players the last couple of
years. So, their track record
Don't try to say they were complete slouches in terms and derelict in giving out money to that side of the ball. No, they did, and they did so badly. With Ezekiel Elliott, the thing I'm curious about, and Elliott Harrison, when he joined us in one of his many voices earlier, he brought up a point that I'd like to echo here, and something, you know, as we watch the game, that I brought up is, like, you don't have your normal offensive line, and you're going up against what was the best run defense in the game last year, and a quarterback that, let's face it, no matter how much they saw him scramble around in practice, once it gets to a game situation, is it necessarily going to be 1-to-1? So for Dak, running him out of the shotgun, and then we saw pretty early on, right, acquitted himself quite well that ankle was healed. And sure as hell has a 97-pound bag of ice on that arm right now. But I thought back, and you're fully past the stingers from Lyle Collins, who played tonight, and you get that offensive line in cohesion, that maybe there's more of a balance. Because the other thing you want to do, I mean, and they did it tonight with some pretty good long, protracted drives throwing the ball, short, intermediate routes. And Yak looked a lot of what Pittsburgh did a year ago with Ben Roethlisberger, right? Take an occasional shot downfield, but otherwise it's throw a guy open in space. Again, like, well, New England and Tom Brady, and like Tom Brady does now, where I could hear you complaining all night long, how is Gronkowski by himself?
Dude, that is one of the
6'7", man.
Dude, that is one of the great mysteries of football that I will never understand. Look, he had a couple of big catches on that final drive. I will never understand how this is a guy who is a Hall of Fame tight end, who's going to be mentioned with guys like Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, his best all time. And this much into his career, he's catching passes where there isn't a defender 5 yards from him. How does that happen? I mean, really, I've seen what he does his whole career. He comes off the line of scrimmage, he kind of rubs on the linebacker, and he goes the other way, and he catches a pass in space. I get it. But at some point, you have a guy on him. At some point, you have, you know, we got to have a guy on Gronkowski here. Now, yes, you have lots of weapons to get. You have to stop people to get the football here in this offense because you got some wide receivers that are really good. But, I mean, you know that when chips are down, Brady's going to Gronkowski. You know he is. And still, he's wide. How is he wide open? How is I still this one a decade into his career as good as he is? How is he wide open?
Yeah, I just understand. Felt bad for DeMarcus Lawrence on the one call. They blitzed everybody. And it's like, all right, you scrape across the middle with him. He got two steps and it looked like, no, this ain't happening. And then he walked into the end zone.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, mark my words. Ezekiel Elliott, this is going to get ugly, and he's going to be someone who is not needed in the offense. I'm telling you, this is how the Cowboys' offense is evolving. It's all Dak all the time, and that's how it's going to be pushed. That's what Jerry Jones is going to want, and there's no way out for the next 2 years of Ezekiel Elliott's contract. You could get a lot from somebody else, anybody else, that doesn't have the name Ezekiel Elliott that you're not paying all that money to. $30 million in dead cap money. Good luck.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.